Amen. What a tremendous song. And I was going to say that's a proof that God's still inspiring music today, new song. But I was singing that song when I was a teenager. You know, you look back and say, that's an amazing song. Appreciate Brother Jantz singing that tonight. Again, good to have Brother House with us tonight. And he comes and preaches tonight, kind of an abbreviated. And then he kind of takes off when we start our business meeting. So we appreciate the preaching this week. Amen? Appreciate it very much.
Thanks, preacher. You won't let me vote. Why would I want to hang around? Well, can't say anything. Can't vote. Can't get a bad spirit. I'm just going to leave. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, please. And it will be abbreviated. It's not that what I'm saying is of lesser importance. It's just a lot needs to be done tonight. And this is worked well so far for us. I want you to keep your Bible open to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. It gets referred to quite often. It hardly ever gets dealt with. Well, obviously, I'm not going to deal with it tonight, but I am going through it. I'm going to pick out some principles that are there, talking about what the song was about, giving. Now, we've talked about the giving of ourself and getting our own self right and all of those truths this week. We come to talk about money tonight. And the reason you do that is because the Bible says, for where your treasure is, there your heart shall be also. So I want you to look with me at one verse. Normally, we would read the chapter, but it's not essential to our thought tonight. Look at verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. And I won't take that as our subject. This grace also. The Bible speaks of five graces that we're to abound in. And then one is added, which he simply calls this grace also. And it refers to the grace of giving. And our study verses in this chapter then lay out principles to guide our giving. Not men's philosophies, but the Word of God. And you know, some hesitate to say much about giving or preach much about giving. But Paul said, I'm not shunned to declare to you all the gospel. And this is a big part of it. Today, people all around the world are unreached because Christians are undisciplined in their giving. They're careless and selfish of the giving of our substance. So if you'll jot down the principle and the verse, then you can study them later on. But I want you to note God's guides for giving in this passage. Principle number one, we find in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 5. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Principle number one there is the principle of selflessness, not selfishness, selflessness. It's quite simple. They first gave their own selves unto the Lord. Did you know, and these are Christian people in the church, been there a good while, loved the Lord on the way to heaven, never had given their self to the Lord. See, that's the reason people have giving problems. They hadn't got first things first yet. And so there has to be that, you see. A lot of folks give. But Romans 15:8 says the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord. You've got to get your heart right for your gift to be received like it should be. Number two, we stay in verse 5. There is the principle of proper methods. The principles of proper methods. Notice in verse 5, they first gave themselves unto the Lord and unto us. See, I can't give directly into God's hands, but I can give directly through the local church and have the proper method of it, you see. They gave to Paul in this case, but they were giving directly to God in so doing. So there has to be that selflessness. There has to be the principle of proper methods. And then again to verse 5. Verse 5 is just loaded up. You could spend the day here. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us. And there comes the biggie. By the will of God. In our giving, there is the principle of God's will. It's not what we feel like or what we think or what the need is or what the urgency is. It's what God's will is. And these folks are giving out according to God's will. And the important truth here is that we must seek God's will in the matter of giving. We absolutely have to have it, you see. It's not left up to me to decide what I'm going to give to God. Amen. That's not my call. Someone said, well, how do you ever figure it out? You don't figure it out. You find God's will for yourself. And you do what God said. And it's an amazing thing, see. The giving that Christians do needs to be through the storehouse. Amen. That's the church house, you see. And every charity does not qualify for Christian support. See, there are a lot of Christians giving to stuff they can't pray for. So you don't need to give to it. Number 4. We're going to verse 2 now. Principle number 4 in verse 2. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of liberality. The principle of joy gets involved here early. The principle of joy. Now, it's rather difficult for me here on working with this verse. I know you got it, but it's kind of difficult for me because I keep seeing three words that just seem like they don't go together. Let's try it. Affliction, poverty, and joy. I think I'd drop two of those if I were working out the joy thing, don't you? But see, someone said, well, won't you explain that? I don't know that I could explain it, but I think a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruise would explain it pretty well. Out of deep poverty she gave, best time in her life. And we're still reminded that Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Yeah. I love 2 Chronicles 29:27. You're not going to have time, so just listen to it. And Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offering upon the altar. And when the burnt offerings began, the song of the Lord began also. When they sacrificed, they started singing about it. This crowd here, out of deep poverty and out of affliction, came the abundance of their joy when they gave. Right. We missed the point here. It was their giving that brought the joy. They had the poverty. They had the affliction. But when they gave their own selves and then gave of their substance, then the song began. And not a lot of singing Christians today, are they? A lot of them hung their harp on a willow tree. And they can't sing the songs of Zion trying to find satisfaction in the world. Can't do it. Well, there's another principle here in verse 2 I want you to see. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Unto the riches of their liberality. There's the principle of generosity. See, you don't have to be rich to be generous. You have to be liberal, but not rich, you see. And in affliction, yep. In poverty, yep. And yet giving liberally. Someone said, well, you can't do that. No, your five senses say you can't, but Luke 6:38 says you can. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure you meet with all, it shall be measured in you again. It keeps coming back. We need to understand the principle of generosity, see. And someone said, well, that looks like sacrifice. It may look like sacrifice, but according to the Bible, you cannot sacrifice giving to God. Now, give and it shall be given to you. If that's sacrifice, let me add it. There's another principle. It's in verse 3. I want you to notice it. This one's kind of a biggie too. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. There is the principle of willingness. See, you ought not have to twist a Christian's arm to get them to give. You ought not have any pressure. There ought not be any hard drive. They did it on their own. A simple statement, you see. They just sought God's will and obeyed. It's amazing to me. You know, just give. Everybody's heard the old story. That's a farmer. Somebody asked her, said, how much milk does your cow give every day? Said, she never has to give any. We take about a gallon a day. We ought not have to take it from Christians. God wants us to give voluntarily. Look at verse 12. It ties right into it. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted. I expect a lot of stuff we give kind of against our grain and against our will is probably not acceptable. What do you think? There needs to be that principle of willingness. Look to verse 8. I'm glad I got this for. I didn't think I'd get this for. But you don't know what I've left out. You don't know what you've missed tonight. Verse 8. This one needs to be somebody's church motto. Look, if you wouldn't, verse 8. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. Now, you do some thinking, do some critical thinking on that, and you find the principle of privilege. Paul said, I'm not commanding you to do it. He could have. He said, I'm not commanding you to do it. Man, you're getting in on a privilege. Look at it. It's there. I mean, you can't get away from it. The very fact to prove the sincerity of your love, it's our privilege to be able to prove that we love God through our giving and to prove the sincerity of our love. And he's encouraging them to accept it as a privilege. I just wonder if we couldn't have a privilege giving contest sometimes, or at least a seminar, or at least a conference. What do you think? One more and I quit. Verse 8 again. To prove the sincerity of your what? The principle of love. This gets so far away from money. The principle of privilege, the principle of willingness, the principle of generosity, the principle of joy. Oh, we've moved. It's about life and why we should do anything at all for God to prove the sincerity of our love. Do you believe that God proved His love toward us? How did He do it? He gave His only begotten Son. Now, when we think about that, by the way, he didn't talk about it 10 years before he did it. No, he knew from the beginning. Amen. Right. And we need to understand that, you see. Gave his beloved Son. And in 2 Corinthians 9:15, we find that cornerstone of all giving. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Yeah. Well, how can we prove our thanks? By giving, you see. And so we need to do that. I hope this week you've got something good to help you. But if this, you know, I know we went fast. But if this won't help you, good night. I mean, joy and generosity and willingness and privilege and love. It just goes on and on and on and on and on. And You've got such a marvelous potential here to be something great and wonderful and marvelous for God if we could get ourselves out of the way. You can't do it for Brother Crawford. You can't do it so you'll have a good place for your kids to come to church when you're gone. You do it because you love God. Would you bow your head, please? I'm going to ask the pastor to come and take charge of the services. I'm so thankful I've been able to be here. I'm so grateful to this church and to the pastor and to the people for what you do for us. And I thank you very much. Pastor, if you'll pray and direct our meeting.